It's time for the latest in news and politics with a slice of life on the side. It's the Thinking Man's Talk. The Errol LaBorde Show is on the air. Here's Errol.
One of the really happy things about the recovery in my neighborhood, which is the mid-city area, has been the return of the streetcars. Not only the return of the streetcars, the return of the really old streetcars, the 1920s vintage Pearly Thomas streetcars, which are there on a temporary basis. At some point, they'll be going all back to St. Charles Avenue, and we'll get the red streetcars that had started service in 2004. But there's a majesty about rail transportation, and there's a majesty about the streetcars. They're really urban furniture, and they bring something to the environment more than a bus ever does. And not only that, they're just a vital part of transportation. In the first part of the show today, we're talking to the guy who I think of as Mr. Rail Transportation, a man who spends a lot of his time looking at rail projects, not only urban but long-distance rail projects. And these are going to be a good bit of the future, at least the thinking of the future of New Orleans. With me is Daryl Cezar, who's a consultant. He consults for the Regional Transit Authority and for the Department of Transportation. Hello, Daryl.
Hi, Errol. How you doing?
Thank you very much. Let's begin. I know we have a lot to talk about, but first, you had mentioned to me, and I know the idea is still at its infancy, but there is a proposal out there being talked about creating a spur from a streetcar spur going down Loyola Avenue to the Union Passenger Terminal. Tell me about that and where the idea stands right now.
Well, the RPC retained, Manning Architects, and I'm a partner with Ray Manning on this project.
Okay, the RPC is the Regional Planning Commission.
Okay, the Regional Planning Commission. This idea had surfaced about 15 years ago when I was in government, and we did the original master plan study. We were able to locate the site for the New Orleans Arena, and there were going to be two spurs of the streetcar then, interestingly enough, one to the Municipal Auditorium and one to the terminal. Our idea was that this would give the terminal area and the people who use the terminal, Greyhound passengers, Amtrak passengers, complete access to the CBD, which they don't have now, via public transportation. If you notice, when Amtrak and Greyhound, especially since the hurricane, have a lot of business. A lot of people ride the bus, and they usually wind up walking to their destination in the CBD. Whether it's a hotel, you see them walking down Loyola Avenue to catch the streetcar to wherever they've got to go, or a bus at Tulane Avenue or something like that. This would give us a direct transportation link to the CBD, to the riverfront, to major hotels, and it would be a circulator system in the CBD.
So somebody could arrive by train in New Orleans, get out the train, walk across the street, and take a streetcar to Canal Street, for example.
Exactly.
And then transfer at Canal Street and take the streetcar down to City Park if they wanted to.
If they wanted to, or they could go to the riverfront, to the aquarium, or they could go to their hotel. A lot of interesting kinds of people ride the buses and use the rails, and they're not all people who can't afford to fly. Many, many people prefer to do that kind of thing because they don't want to fly, and because they might want the experience of the rail effort. So that's the thinking. We've got good interest in it. We presented last month at the Regional Planning Commission, and we're building support for it. Also, I think what has to be mentioned about this is that a spur down Loyola would really reinvigorate that portion of the CBD, which is in transition. It's directly related close to the medical center, especially Tulane Medical Center, which has plans to do some expansion things. But also, you have a potential residential corridor developing, on the riverside of Loyola Avenue. The buildings are now in transition, where the hospital drugstore used to be. That's going to be converted to be, residential. And then when you come further down the street, Channel 4 has previously had plans to build on their square across from the post office. And the city got good news recently. The owners of the Plaza Towers are now, evidently these folks are really going to try to turn this into a mixed-use kind of development. They're doing the remediation, which was always the big problem as we speak. Because
that building has always been a disaster. It never came anywhere near meeting expectations.
No,
it's just been terrible.
But they're removing the asbestos in the building now. You know, my office is in the train terminal downtown, and I can see them. So evidently they have the wherewithal and the means to turn it into a first-rate commercial property.
New Orleans is lucky in that it has three long-distance trains. You have the Sunset Limited from Los Angeles, the City of New Orleans between New Orleans and Chicago, and then also connection by the Crescent to New York. So conceivably, if the sort of things you were talking about, if we could have these additional streetcar spurs, conceivably somebody could get on a train in downtown Los Angeles and get to Audubon Park totally by rail.
Exactly right. But let me give you the picture since you brought up Amtrak. We had a hearing, and I think the mayor deserves a lot of credit for this, Mayor Nagin, because he asked the Subcommittee on Railroads, Pipelines, and Hazardous Materials to hold a hearing in New Orleans last week. It didn't get much press, but they held it in the first floor of the Union Passenger Terminal, which is being beautifully restored now. The murals have been done, that kind of thing. Anyway, the main subject for purposes of evacuation were putting in this rail link to Baton Rouge, which LADOTD is working very, very hard on. RPC is working with them down here.
Okay, LADOTD, that's Louisiana Department of Transportation.
Pardon me, the Louisiana Department of Transportation, the Regional Planning Commission, the Mayor's Office in New Orleans. And the service would be probably would be run by Amtrak. It would have a stop, it's commuter rail. It would begin in New Orleans and go to Baton Rouge three to four to five times a day. It would have four stops in between at the airport in the airport Laplace, Gonzales, the Mall of Louisiana, and downtown Baton Rouge. And so those issues, that would give people an alternative to using I-10, which since the hurricane has become a nightmare. And the expansion of it, you know, the good news is that it's going to be expanded. The bad news is that when something's at gridlock, when you expand something like that, usually the traffic catches up with it in time. So it's still going to be a difficult thing to traverse I-10.
So this would be train service between Union Passenger Terminal up to Baton Rouge, a couple of stops along the way, including the Mall of Louisiana, which is interesting. And then, this would be daily back and forth, I guess, to fit the commuter hours?
We're projecting four times a day to fit the commuter hours. I've had a lot of legislators ask me about it because, you know, guys that work in New Orleans, you know, they would much prefer riding the train up there if it's landing near the Capitol than driving. Because really, you don't know what you're going to get when you're on the interstate. You know, you could run into a bottleneck. So this puts us on the same page. This would put us on the same page roughly as what the Northeast has been on for years. I mean, we were in a meeting yesterday on our current redevelopment efforts at the NOUPT, and one fellow from out of town observed that in Washington D.C., people in the know, if they've got to go to New York, they take the train. They don't fool with planes. You know, and it's a 2.5 hour ride on the Acela. It's cheaper than the planes. You're not going to be caught up in problems at LaGuardia, Kennedy, and that kind of thing.
And the thing about New York, though, is you can commute to New York and get off at the train station, whether that be Grand Central for the commuter trains, I believe. And once you get there, you still have this very elaborate transportation system of subways.
Absolutely.
Where you can get out and still go to Brooklyn or the Queens. The problem we have right now is that you got the train station at Union Passenger Terminal, and if you were going to New Orleans East, then you have to take a taxi or figure out some other way. And so we don't have the transportation that's waiting for people once they get there.
No, we don't. And that's what we're proposing we would do. Now, I want to make one key point to help with the new rail service that we're talking about from Baton Rouge to New Orleans. We're looking at a plan now to reorganize the rail yard and to create another main line in. You know, at one point, when the terminal was initially built, you had, I think, two, possibly, places for three main lines in and out because it was a very busy place in the 50s and 60s. All the freight railroads were in the passenger railroad business. Then they switched over to Amtrak, stopping passenger rail service in the 70s. We would need another main line. We're looking at it from an engineering and a planning standpoint as to how that can be created to better accommodate that traffic between New Orleans and Baton Rouge. And also on the table, and this is a key point as well, one of the main reasons the hearing was held here last week, the chairwoman, is Congresswoman Corinne Brown of Florida, the Florida Panhandle. And she's been very, very upset since the hurricane with Amtrak because they have they stopped the Sunset Limited here and they don't go all the way to Florida. Many, many, many of her citizens used to travel on the Sunset Limited to New Orleans. She's pushing for regular rail service from New Orleans to Florida. Now, it doesn't have to be the Sunset Limited. It could be something else. We had the Gulf Coast Limited train in the 1990s, which came and did very well building from Mobile in New Orleans.
That was after the World's Fair. It started during the World's Fair. It operated for a few years.
And it did well, and it took it off, and we fought to try to keep it going, but we weren't able to. So we'll see what happens. I'm betting that in the next few years, not only do we have a good shot at a connection between New Orleans and Baton Rouge, which has to be the number one priority because of the evacuation potential of it, to get citizens out of harm's way, but I think we may get some regular rail service to Florida, too, some kind of way,
Brings us back to what it used to be.
Exactly.
The Sunset Limited, it went to Orlando, then for a while they extended it down to Miami, but... I mean, it would just make sense. But, that train between New Orleans and Mobile, as I recall, it began during the World's Fair, and after the World's Fair, people said, this is great, let's keep it going. And Amtrak needed the states that it went through to support it to put up money. And as I recall, Louisiana and Mississippi were willing, but Alabama wasn't, and that's where it died.
Let me just tell you, we have a high-speed rail corridor down here, and I got to tell you, the folks at the Louisiana Department of Transportation have really stepped up to the plate on all rail matters. They're really getting very, very progressive in that area. We have had a problem with Alabama. That's exactly right. They're wedded to the old highway formula over there, and Mississippi has been much better than they have. But you're right. The collective will. I'm hoping that the increasing price of gasoline and the increasing congestion on the interstate will force people to look at rail and mass transit as an option. I want to make just one comment on the streetcar effort, back to that. In this city, there's a certain romance, and I've heard you say this, Errol, and you're right, attached to the streetcars. I remember, as a boy, the Canal streetcar, and I was happy to have had a small part in helping restore that service in the early 90s when I was in government. But I got to tell you, if you look at that Carrollton spur that goes off Canal Street to the museum. I was in that neighborhood last night. I drive it all the time. It's flowered beautifully, even before the hurricane. Prices, property values were going up in Mid-City. And we expect the same kind of effect along Loyola Avenue. Maybe not, it would be a different effect, but it would be a kind of to help the street get a rebirth in definition.
Yeah, the Carrollton Spur, I think I've mentioned to you that I live in that neighborhood, and during the time it was being developed and planned, I'd hear about the Carrollton Spur, and I was supportive of it to the extent that it made any difference, but I didn't understand it. It didn't seem like something that would really work, and it's worked because, when I drive by, I count heads in terms of the streetcars, and there are people going back and forth between Carrollton and City Park, between Canal and City Park.
That's a big component of all the proposed developments for that area, and let me just say that streetcar link, it's been extremely successful. It was very painful, the process. I remember when it was being built, very painful for the merchants along the street. I remember that.
Oh, yeah.
But they stuck in and they survived, and it's been better for the city. It really has been because they had their traffic patterns were totally cut. But if you look at how that area is just flowered, that Home Depot is very, very busy. The Rouse is there. It's a very busy store. I think all the properties are coming back into commerce. There's a big sporting goods store being planned directly across the street from Winn-Dixie. So from an economic development standpoint, this public infrastructure improvements like the streetcar, in New Orleans at least, have proven to be very successful.
And even some minor changes, like a place like Venetia's, before the streetcar returned, and this would be the original red streetcar in 2004, the front windows at Venetia were always blocked.
Right.
And then once the streetcars came, they opened up those windows, and now you can be eating at Venetia's and see the streetcars pass by. And there is just something very pleasant about that.
My wife works at Tulane Medical Center, and she took her staff for staff lunch at Venetia's not long ago, and she mentioned that, and I'm happy that they reopened. And since you mentioned it on that site, I know you're aware of this. There's going to be a major development at the site of Canal and Carrollton. There's going to be a Walgreens. They purchased the site, and they're going to share that square with Robert's, who's going to put up a great store there. Perhaps a bit smaller than what he's got on West End right now, but there'll be, so that's another great commercial use for that property. So you'll be getting a brand new Walgreens pharmacy in that area, as well as a grocery store.
We've been hearing about that Walgreens Robert's, but man, it's a long time coming.
Well, he's working on that, his concept. Now, Robert's is a, and I happen to know him, he's a fine man. He's done a great job on West End. My family and I live out in this area on West End, and we go there all the time. His next, he's taking it on a project-by-project approach. He's now going to be building at Canal, at Carrollton and South Claiborne, another joint development with Walgreens. And then his third development will be at Canal and Carrollton. And then his fourth development is going to be to restore the old Schwagman Market on St. Claude Avenue. All exciting things for the city, really.
You're listening to the Errol LaBorde Show. With me is Daryl Cezon, who's a consultant, the expert on transportation matters. A little bit later, we're going to have Bill Curl, of the Superdome Commission, talking about the arena and some of the exciting things that have been happening in professional sports. Daryl, getting back to the proposed train between Baton Rouge and New Orleans, is this one of these things that's still on the drawing board, or is anything seriously happening?
They've made a lot of progress. They've gone through, the process of beginning to look at who owns what property, and they're going to be, hopefully buying the right of way from the freight railroads, which is available. The mayor called for the $80 million that we need to start the service, which is basically buying the right of way. That's basically what it is. And the state would probably operate it, the Louisiana Department of Transportation, and contract with somebody to do it, like Amtrak. In Maryland, the Maryland Department of Transportation, for instance, contracts with Amtrak to provide regular rail service from Baltimore Washington International Airport to downtown Washington, D.C. The MARC and the Metro, those are services. You can get from downtown, the airport to downtown in Washington to BWI for $5 on the MARC. I don't know what it's going to be from our airport, and it's on regular rail. But I know we're talking about something. They're talking about a trip from New Orleans to Baton Rouge to be somewhere in the $9 to $11 range, which is really a great price when you figure you won't have to fool around with traffic on the interstate.
Well, let me ask you about Amtrak. Amtrak is like the polar bear. It always seems to be on the endangered list. Are you satisfied that Amtrak is going to survive?
I think so. I think that what's going to happen, Errol, is this country, we're going to have some... the Congress, I think, is going to lean more favorably toward mass transportation than it has begun that. It's something that we've got to do because the interstates are just so congested. Where I live, I happen to live in the area near UNO. And, for instance, when my wife and I, we have two daughters. We're going to Metairie. We go the back way, out Lakeshore Drive, out Robert E. Lee. We don't fool with the interstate because you never know what you're going to find up there. That's the problem. We need to get more oriented toward mass transportation down here in the South. And the RPC, the Regional Planning Commission, has really led the way. Their director, Walter Brooks, has been a great advocate for all of that.
And people who live in New Orleans and who've lived here all their life, and if they haven't traveled very much to other American cities, don't know what real mass transit is like.
You're right.
Like, if you go to Chicago by rail, maybe 100 miles before you get into Chicago, you start seeing all these commuter trains up and down the tracks.
Sure.
A big commuter system going to Chicago, huge commuter system along the East Coast between Boston and New York, and also on the West Coast, so between San Francisco and Los Angeles. Now there are spots in this country that have very, very sophisticated rail transit commuter systems.
Well, they're developing that all along the West Coast right now because of the interstate gridlock problems. They've had it in the Northeast for a long time, and you're right, they've had it in the urban Midwest for a long time. And in the Chicago, Illinois, Wisconsin areas, that kind of thing. We've got to try to develop that in the South. They're doing it now in Texas more. I mean, you know, for years, there was a big impediment, I'm told, out there. You know, the airlines didn't want to have any competition between the Texas cities. Now they're thinking more toward doing that because of gas prices and because the airlines have had to cut back. There are fewer choices on short hauls. They don't make their money. I happen to have a brother who's a pilot. He keeps telling me, man, we don't make money on short hauls. He flies for Continental. We got to have the long hauls, you know. So rail fills a niche.
And isn't a real selling point in terms of getting the funding going to be emergency evacuation?
Absolutely. That was one of the main reasons the conference was held here last week. There's no question that there's still going to be a number of citizens in the city in the event of another evacuation who need to be evacuated, and it's special needs citizens, rail offers a viable option. And we're now renovating the train terminal. I would invite you, Errol, to come over and take a look at it with me. My office is in the building. Murals have been restored, but not only that, the building, the doors are now ADA accessible. We're about to do the restrooms to make them ADA accessible, and I'm going to move toward trying to get better seating for regular passengers and for people who might be there, because, you know, in the event of an evacuation, you know, if you have people coming, they might have to sit for a period of time, maybe an hour or so or something like that, as the trains come in and go out take them to higher ground. So we want to try to make it as user-friendly for regular customers and for those people who would have to use it in times of evacuation.
That's a beautiful old train station, and I think the irony of it was built, around 1958 and 59, and right when it opened, as this new modern train station, is when passenger rail service really started to decline.
Actually, Errol, I'm looking at a timeline I did. The rail station, NOUPT, was planned in the 1940s, and that's also a part of the planning is how you got the overpasses and the underpasses in the city. Those are all part of the NOUPT agreements. Elysian Fields, Franklin, Jeff Davis, all of the overpasses, Claiborne Broad, came as a result of that. But the terminal itself opened on January 8th, 1954, and it served the passenger rail needs with the freights until 1970, when Amtrak, May 1, 1971, when the National Railroad Passenger Corporation was created, that's Amtrak. Greyhound moved their operations off Tulane Avenue to that facility in 1968. And
it's a great building with those great murals there. It must have been really exciting in the early days when you had a lot of different train lines going and people going back and forth.
We have a board in one of the offices upstairs, which I know you'd love seeing, but it shows 8 or 9 railroads offering service, daily service, into and out of the terminal. It's probably an historic artifact. And it's just there. It's there like it was in the 1950s. It has not been moved. It shows you the times that the Union passenger trains came in, Illinois Central, KCS, where they were going, the times. It was a very busy terminal in those days. You're absolutely correct.
A few years ago, there was talk about maglev, which was, I guess it's technically a train, except it's not. It's an elevated train, magnetically elevated, which high speed. I know New Orleans was trying to get, or this region was trying to get some sort of a grant. I don't think it ever happened. But is maglev happening anywhere in the country?
Well, let me just tell you, I was involved with that, and maglev is the concept that they use in Europe. And it's a great concept, and it is being attempted in Maryland and Pennsylvania are still toying with it, but the problem is it's very, very expensive, extremely expensive. And if you've got high-speed rail going on, you know, at grade, is a better option, but you've got to clear the right-of-way issues with the freight railroads. One other thing one point I want to make on evacuation, I hate to go back to that, but it's a key thing. There was testimony from the freight railroads at the hearing last week, and the freights indicated again to the committee that whenever the event of a hurricane or an emergency comes, they will clear their trains off to allow full use of evacuation from this Gulf Coast area to higher ground. They're working very closely with the evacuation authorities in the state of Louisiana and the city and with Amtrak to make sure that that can be done, which is a very good sign.
Getting back to the streetcars, first of all, the St. Charles streetcar line is not 100% restored. It ends now at Riverbend, but it doesn't go all the way toward Claiborne yet. Do you know what the timetable is on that?
No, I know it's soon. I know they're working on it. They really are, and they've been working really, really hard on that. I know that.
Right. And the repair of the new red streetcars that were flooded during Katrina, is that going on? Is that in progress?
That is in progress, I understand. And I think they hope to have the ladies in red, as we call them, back in service by the end of this year. I think that's the plan. I'm not sure. But I know they're working on it. I know they're working on it.
Those ladies in red, they're nice. They're modern machines. They're really a totally different machine from the old green streetcar.
Right.
But, man, there's something charming about the old green streetcar.
Absolutely.
It waddles
absolutely.
And it clings. And
absolutely.
It makes noise
absolutely.
In a good kind of way.
They wouldn't let you build the ladies in red without air conditioning and without handicapped accessibility. That's part of the thing. That's what makes them a little different.
What would likely be the next addition to the streetcar line? Would it be the Loyola, or would it be, I know there's been talk about extending it out into the Bywater Marini area?
Well, lots of people want streetcar lines. I happen to think, as a person who's been involved in economic development transportation work over the years, that show me the money. In other words, you got to show me where there's a lot of things planned, good things for the Bywater area. Really, really, it's a wonderful area. But we have so much potential along Loyola Avenue right now with the buildings coming back into service. I mean, this to me, as a lifelong New Orleanian, this is a tough time to live in the city as we're in the midst of recovery, but it's also an exciting time because you can see changes taking place. I happen to live near the Holy Cross High School going up, and they're driving piles now there. It's an exciting time because we're rebirthing, giving birth to a new city, a better city. And, I'm happy to still be here to be part of it.
Okay, of the two main projects that we talked about today, the New Orleans to Baton Rouge train or the streetcar line extension down Loyola, which is most likely to happen?
I think they both have a good chance, to be honest. I do. I think that the state's serious about their commuter rail effort between New Orleans and Baton Rouge. I know Greater Baton Rouge Foundation likes it. It was a high priority for the outgoing administration and for people around the incoming administration in Baton Rouge. So I think it has a good chance. And I think that with the kind of good support we've been having on the streetcar link to the train terminal and circulating, it would not only go to the terminal, it would circulate, it would be in the street on Loyola, and then it would go down Howard Avenue and then back down Carondelet. Now that's a proposed route. We've got to look at alternatives. Okay, but you get the concept. It would be a circulator for the CBD, and something that's very, very good, I think, to promote commerce in that area.
And all you people listening who are driving on the interstate right now, just kind of think about this in terms of if there was really good, reliable, timely service.
That's the key.
How much easier it could make your life, and it works in other places too.
Yes, indeed.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, Daryl, if you don't mind, we'll check back with you from time to time. Congratulations on the work that you're doing.
Absolutely, and thanks for the opportunity, Errol. Okay. Take care.
All right, you're listening to the Errol LaBorde Show. We're going to take a break, and we'll be back with Bill Curl.
The Errol LaBorde Show on New Orleans Real Talk, AM 690 WIST.